Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, disc, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540, the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, 10 reasons to consider Trump. This is an assessment of 10 points someone described as reasons to vote for Trump. Not the only reasons. It's not his platform, but it was 10 things I thought that was interesting when I read them, when I started thinking about them. So I said, let's go review these 10 things this guy's talking about, right? So anyway, this is not about voting or not voting for Trump. I'm simply using this article to generate thoughts, right? I learned more about the Republicans and the Democrats, or should I say our two uncles. Here are some political things I read about Trump. Just off the bat, he talked about bringing the energy rate down to bring inflation down. I guess everybody's using this energy. It costs them more to work, to use the energy. So they up the price of the products and stuff like that, right? So that sounds good, but how do you bring energy rates down if you do not control the energy resources and providers? Trump will revoke Biden's policy on gender-affirming care, which allows giving minor children puberty blockers, mutilating their physical appearance, and ultimately performing surgery on minor children. Trump also talked about any school teacher making it that, you know, wrong for any school teacher or official caught suggesting to a child that they can be trapped in the wrong body will be dealt with severe consequences, right? So he's going to ask Congress to pass a bill state that the U.S. government will only recognize two genders, sexes, male and female, and they are determined at birth. I think he used the word assigned, which I thought was interesting. Then he talked about Title IX. Title IX will prohibit men from participating in women's sports. Trump's had a recent contention that abortion restrictions should be left up to individual states, not the federal government, and that has upset some abortion groups, right? Let me see what else he said. Oh, he said, Trump stated that the U.S. is the only place stupid enough to allow a woman to come into the country, give birth to a child, and take care of that child. I think he said until age 80, for 85 years, he said. I believe he is referring to citizenship and being, you know, eligible for benefits in the United States just by the fact that somebody dropped you out, you know, in the country, right? Very interesting on citizenship being granted to a child of a non-citizen of another sovereign nation. Conversation with my friend about Trump like that right there, that's a very interesting point right there. Why? Just because somebody came out between, you know, somebody's legs in the United States, how does that make them a citizen? From the ACLS law office, citizenship is given to a child born on U.S. soil. That's all it takes. So that means all of those people that came across the border illegal, bam, they have a baby here. That kid is a U.S. citizen. After coming of age 21 in the U.S., your child may submit an alien relative petition to give you an opportunity to receive a green card. How does that work? Where are you until then? So I checked China out. One of the parents have to be Chinese in order for you to get Chinese citizenship. Any person born in Russia automatically receives Russian citizenship by birth if at least one parent is a Russian citizen, right? So I don't know. Individuals born in the country, the two foreign parties only receive Russian citizenship by birth if they cannot acquire the citizenship of either parent. I thought that was interesting for Russia. So it's not that easy to become a citizen in China or Russia. Now, I didn't check out the rest of the places because this is, you know, it's a bunch of countries, right? Anyway, from the Daily Item, they talked about 10 reasons to vote for Trump. And what I did was I, you know, just put my head to it a little bit and to see, you know, what I come up with. They say number one, the direct intentional killing of a defenseless innocent child in the womb is an abomination, right? 60 million plus since 1973. Democrats voted to deny care for children in botched abortions. Actually, that's the first time I've seen about that. I didn't think anybody survived the abortion. Things I saw that they do, because like sucking their heads out, cutting it up, and you know. Anyway, Fox News, right? Nearly every House Democrat voted against legislation that would require immediate medical attention for babies who are born alive after an attempt was made to abort them. Woo! That right there is horrific. Just the whole, not the, whether you give it medical care, that you tried to abort it and now you're still trying to kill it, trying to figure out, let it die, I guess. I don't know. You know, no medical care, let it die. You know, this is Democrats now. The bill passed 220-210, and all 210 of the no votes came from Democrats, right? Do not aid, right? This child that we're trying to, I mean, it makes sense. If you trying to kill something, you don't give it medical assistance if your attempt to kill it wasn't successful. I think that's what the Democrats are saying, right? That's pretty horrible, brutal, though. Considering this is somebody being born, right? And they probably injured, or I don't know how, I don't even know what that looks like. Anyway, the Democrats said the bill would interfere with families' medical decisions. I don't know what that means. I guess that means my medical decision is to abort child. Therefore, that this kid should be terminated at no matter what happens, botched abortion or not, right? So I guess that's what they're saying. Abortion, definition of meaning in Webster's, sometimes regarded with, abomination. It's something regarded with disgust or hatred, something abominable, considered war and abomination, extreme disgust and hatred, loathing, right? So, you know, I think in the scriptures it talks about if a man lay with a man like he lay with a woman, that's an abomination to the Creator. So Proverbs 6:16-19, they quoted, "These six things both the Lord hates, seven are an abomination unto him." Don't ask me how that math came out that way, but that's what it says, okay? "A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that devises wicked imagination, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord," period, right? And so Trump is, they say, is the most pro-life president ever, who believes that life is precious. It begins at the moment of conception. He, they say he is was decreasing the number of abortions by withholding funds for abortions in America. I guess that happened at one time. I don't know. Biden will increase the number of abortions by doing away with the Hyde Amendment and using taxpayer dollars to pay for them. He will also codify Roe versus Wade into federal law. So the Hyde Amendment, because I didn't know what that was. Hyde, I go to the Jekyll and Hyde thing, right? because I'm not the sharpest knife in the kitchen, you know, and politics is not my thing. Anyway, the Hyde Amendment is a U.S. policy that Hyde, the Hyde Amendment is a legislative provision barring the use of federal funds to pay for abortion except to save the life of the woman or if the pregnancy arises from incest or rape. Codified Roe versus Wade means to passing a law that would affirm a pregnant person's right to an abortion without undue interference, right? That is basically reversing Roe versus Wade, right? So these guys are juggling this thing. And, you know, it seems like Constitution, this is really crazy because they able to juggle things in the Constitution. And I don't know, maybe some things in there are probably not good. I don't know. But this is good and evil. I don't think it has anything to do with what goes on in the decisions they make in this country. Anyway, he said, they went on to say, let's not forget it. To kill is against God's fifth commandment, right? So thou shalt not kill, right? If you about the scriptures. And as for Catholics, they said the United States Bishops Conference says the threat of abortion remains our preeminent priority because it directly attacks life itself. So I said, if we're going to protect the life, protect life against things that pose a threat to life, let's not turn a blind eye to people and industries that perpetuate death in the name of prosperity, health, and nutrition, in direct conflict with the Fifth Amendment and the Ninth Commandment, the Fifth Commandment and the Ninth Commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, right? Exodus 20:16. This is this one is about honesty. If you lie to someone, you are bearing false witness and may cause harm to yourself and to others. So if I lie to you and say that this box of cereal is nutritious and it's not, right, and you catch all these diseases or ailments from it, that is a lie, right? So you're bearing false witness. Anytime you sell food that's not nutritious, that's actually harmful to and products that are harmful to people, you are bearing false witness, which is a violation of the Ninth Commandment, right? And the Fifth Commandment, because people die from these things, right? Because the end result is death, right? So, you know, I can see the argument, you know, the unborn child, you want to save it, save that baby, you know, but, you know, besides who's going to take care of this baby? Because the mother doesn't want it. So what is the plan for the child once the unwanted child enters, you know, the world, right? Start breathing air on his own, right? What is the plan for that child? That's not what the show's about, but that's a good show too. Many businesses are lying by omission about their product safety. People assume that a product is safe when it comes to market. Now, I'm sure we do because we go to the supermarket and we up there just picking out, oh, yeah, that looks good. That looks good. You know what I'm saying? That tastes good. I had that before. I'm going to get that, right? So we all guilty of that, right? Like little mice. It should be. But it's not always the case that, you know, these products are good, right? What about defenseless, unsuspecting human beings? What about protecting them? You know, I say to Republicans, okay, you want to protect the unborn child. I heard that. I hear it. Understand it. What about protecting the folks that's here? Are they worthy of protection? Are we worthy of being protected from the toxins that they throw at us on a daily? Is it okay to cause the death of those who have been born as opposed to those who haven't been born? Does it make it moral or ethical if you place a warning or on the label somewhere. You know, I don't know if you guys, I had a show that talked about some things. I'm not sure if these things come from California or not, because it's related to California. It always says reference to California, known to cause cancer, Proposition 95 or something like that, 96, 95, some kind of proposition, right? And it says, you know, things like had dumbbells, I got some boxing gloves like that. You know, just different things, you know, things you exercise with, things you don't even think that might cause cancer, that they have this little warning on there. Is that ethical? Because is that okay? Because, I mean, we need to get up off our butts and start confronting these people about this. They're having this big fight about saving the life of the unborn. But the born, the people who are walking upright on the planet, breathing air on their own, they continue to put all these toxins in that they know cause death. So what about the defenseless, unsuspecting human beings? Are they worthy of protection? Is it okay to cause the death of those who have been born? Does it make it moral or ethical if you place a warning label of somewhere on the package? Is that okay? I say hell no. From the New York University of Langone, I think that's the way you say it anyway, daily exposure to forever chemicals cost United States billions, right? NYU Langone researchers estimate that medical costs and lost worker productivity from PFAS exposure cost Americans billions of dollars. Now, I guess you can look at that. Since it's perpetuating the medical industry and things that support the medical industry, is that okay? Maybe the petrol, plastic, and medical industries are working together. You think? Processed meat. Cold-cut sandwiches can hit the spot, but those deli meats can contain carcinogens. Carcinogens are things that cause cancer, right? And increase your risk of cancer. Processed meats are preserved with chemicals like nitrates. I don't understand it. Nitrates and nitrates. They are also cooked at a high heat, which creates polycyclic amines and hydrocyclic amines, right? Not good, right? Harvard Public Health, about 678,000 Americans die each year from chronic food illness. I said this before on another show. This is very important because I'm looking at, okay, these guys are okay. They want to save the life of the unborn, but it seems like they don't give a damn about people just walking upright, breathing on their own. 678,000 Americans die each year from chronic food illness. The toll is higher than our combat deaths in every war in American history combined, right? More people than our combat deaths in every war in American history combined. That's right. There are more deaths each year from our food than all the combat deaths from the Revolutionary War through the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. Okay, so is that not alarming to anybody? Or are we stuck on that? Well, that's the way it is. Anyway, SaludAmerica.com says, an unhealthy diet is the leading risk factor for death, causing more than 500,000 U.S. deaths in 2016. For the study, University of Washington researchers analyzed data on 333 diseases in every state from 1990 to 2016. They implicated diet in 599 deaths from heart disease, stroke, diabetes, cancer, and other diseases in 2016. They implicated diet in 529,999 deaths. After diet, tobacco, high blood pressure, and obesity are the next biggest early death risks. Air pollution, polluted air and exhaust from vehicles, cars, trucks, those things we like, increase cancer risk, particularly lung cancer, as well as other cancers such as breast cancer. Then we have alcohol, right? Alcohol consumption is linked to different types of cancer, liver, breast, and throat cancer, right? It's thought to be due to chemicals from alcohol. The damage alcohol can cause to DNA. And the changes alcohol can cause in hormones, including increased estrogen levels, right? To limit risk, they say avoid drinking more than the recommended amount of alcohol. That's like saying to avoid ODing on heroin or fentanyl, don't do the whole bag, you know, break it up. You know, that's just like, even if this just happened to be legal. Okay, they say take less of it. Is that okay, y'all? Are we okay with that? Or we only deal with death, things that kill? Does it always have to be a gun and for us to see that things are killing us? I just showed you where they said killing more people than all the wars the United States has had from, the Civil War to now, to Iraq or something like that. That's a lot of folks dying. Cancer is not a mystery. In fact, there are so many things capable of causing cancer that the only mystery is which one is going to be causing you to develop a particular cancer. My point is God has nothing to do with it unless God is an evil being set on cursing, causing the death and destruction of unsuspecting human beings. That traditionally sounds like what they say the other guy is like. Then there's the separation from church and state because folks disagree on the interpretation of the Bible. Right? The separation would account for the double standard of being against terminating the life of a fetus, but constantly killing, destroying, exposing the life of human beings to known substances that causes illness and ultimately death. Those good old Christian values were used to justify chattel slavery in the so-called New World. When you think about it, they have always sacrificed lives for profit. With all the legal death and destruction permitted in this country, it makes you wonder, why are Republicans so concerned about terminating a fetus? They are going to be subject to toxins that cause death from conception to birth. That fetus is going to be subjected to these same toxins. If you claim to want to protect and preserve life, vulnerable life, do it on a grand scale. End preventable sickness and death in America caused by toxins. Don't provide a choice to purchase something that can harm us, kill us. That is double talk. Straight from hell. I say Catholics have their work cut out for them with the priests who like to go against the will of the Creator. And that's all I'm going to say about that, talking about the imminent threat. Number two, they say Donald Trump's first year in office, he signed an executive order upholding religious liberty and the right to engage in religious speech. He signed an executive order upholding religious liberty and the right to engage in religious speech. On May 29th, 2019, House Democrats put through a bill that limited religious freedom. Religious organizations would be forced to violate their beliefs or shut down on the basis of discrimination. What the hell are they talking about? Yes. This is what I was telling y'all. I learned a little bit. I learned more about the Democrats. I always suspected them. But, yes, the Democrats are degenerate monsters, too. I'm not sure if they are the lesser of two evils or if two evils really exist. It seems more like a serpent with two heads. I suspect the Democrats want to silence the voice of condemnation from religious doctrines that do not support their agenda or the agenda they support. Doesn't the Constitution already protect religious freedom? So how are these jokers? How is Trump writing an executive order, defending it, and how are these Democrat monsters limiting religious freedom? How is that happening? And people, we should not be allowing them to do that, because if you allow them to do that, they can take every constitutional right you have away from you just with the stroke of the pen, a vote, and bang, bingo. Next thing you know, chattel slavery. You never know. The First Amendment. Doesn't the Constitution already protect religious freedoms? Sure it does. Or should I say, it should anyway. There's no need for Trump to write anything, and the Democrats shouldn't be able to write anything of prohibiting of religious practices. First Amendment says Congress shall make no law representing an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peacefully to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. So they just shut all that down. They just took some of that away quietly, and I don't know if we were aware of that or not. So why did Trump sign an executive order to protect what is already said to be protected in the Constitution of the United States? First one. Them brothers with the white wigs must have been very concerned about that, even though the same dudes was raping black folks, enslaving, working us to death. They worried about their constitutional and religious practice. They weren't worried about ours, but they were so enough concerned about theirs. And here these fools going here, they playing with that. They can play with the First Amendment. They can play with the rest of them. Right? So why did Trump sign an executive order to protect what is already said to be protected in the Constitution? The problem is when so-called judges and political representatives cease to interpret, cite the Constitution as written, and decide in favor of an interest group. A greater problem occurs when the Constitution is amended by unconscionable, immoral, unethical individuals to support their or someone's unconscionable, immoral, unethical agenda. Number three. In May 2019, the Trump administration finalized a rule to protect individuals and healthcare institutions from discrimination on the basis of their exercise of conscience in health and human services federal program. Obama and Biden felt no obligation to respect people's consciences. They defunded a program at Catholic Charities in Philadelphia to aid women in trafficking because they would not refer these women for abortions. They said, they talked about Hobby Lobby and the Little Sisters of the Poor having to go to the Supreme Court to defend their conscience, right? There are many more examples, they said, right? So Democrats are wicked. You don't do what they say, And you sell that with the the COVID thing. You don't do it. They say I'm gonna throw you and your whole family out on the street. You're gonna lose your job, right? Which means you're gonna lose your house, you're gonna lose your car. You and your family be out on the street, which they wanted everybody off the street, but they threaten to throw everybody into COVID if they don't get the jab. That's the Democrats, and they say we're not in an authoritarian society. Doesn't look that way to me. Doesn't look like that's not very democratic. Anyway, the Democrats are pro-abortion and the Republicans are anti-abortion. Both appear to be pro-poisoning Americans daily to death. Number four, Democrats are for socialism. Socialism is evil and can lead to communism. The latest country to try it was Venezuela. The people there are starving. Bernie Sanders is a socialist. Biden owns him. A 2021 study found that 3 in 4 Venezuelans are living in extreme poverty. That means that our poverty makes those guys, their poverty makes our poverty like we made it. We moved on up, right? Anyway. With the rise of inflation, along with the political climate of the country, many Venezuelans have to flee the country. Inadequate living conditions and the authoritarian style of government have exacerbated poverty in Venezuela. Right? Pay close attention to that. Inadequate living conditions and the authoritarian style of government, right? So that's not a socialist government, right? The presence of an authoritarian style government is indicative of the absence of a socialist style of government. A socialist country is not socialist simply because they say that they are socialist, any more than a democracy is not a democracy simply because it says that it is a democracy. Message. Anyway, follow the money trail. Enough said. Socialism from the National Geographic Education, right? Socialism is broadly speaking a political and economic system in which poverty and the means of production are owned. Property and the means of production are owned in common. Poverty. Woo, that's crazy. Anyway, right? So property and the means of production are owned in common, right? Typically controlled by the state or government. That is under the assumption that the government is representing the people. You got to keep this in mind because government, people in government are not necessarily representing you. And if you want to put that to the test, try to get something done. Right? So common and or public ownership of resources and means of production lead to more equal or economically proportionate society, right? So I'm going to say that again. Common or public ownership of resources and means of production leads to a more equal or economically proportionate society. Economically proportionate society, right? Because socialism, I assure you, is the enemy of capitalism, right? Back to basics, International Monetary Fund says, capitalism is often thought as an economic system in which private actors own and control property in accord with their interests, right? And demand and supply freely set prices in markets in a way that can serve the best interests of society. That sounds like a conflict of interest, double talk to you. A private actor own and control property in accord with their interests and demand and supply freely set prices in markets in a way that can serve the best interests of society. That's double talk. The central feature of capitalism is The motive to make profit, the essential feature in capitalism, is the motive to make profit. Private actors' ownership of resources and means of production leads to a more unequal or economically disproportionate society. That's how you have extremely wealthy people and extremely poor people living in the same country, right? A disproportionate distribution of wealth is indicative of private actors setting prices in markets in a way that serves the best interests of the private actor. Follow the monopoly money trail. And I don't mean the game. Socialism is the opposite or enemy of capitalism. I suspect many industrialized countries masquerade as something, but are actually capitalist to some degree. Number five, Trump. Trump supports school choice to help poor children to get ahead. What's wrong with that? That sounded good. Like, hey, everybody got a choice. Go to the school you want to go to. Where you want to go, kid? All right. Send them there. Help them get there, right? Pay for it, right? That's that. Face value, that sounds like nothing's wrong with that because that's what I thought. What's wrong with that? You got a problem with school choice? Democrats, they said they need the teachers' unions' contributions for their campaign office. I don't understand that. Anyway, edchoice.org, right? This whole thing about school choice, right? They said school choice allows public education funds, to follow students to the schools or services that best fit their needs. Who's doing that? Whether that's to a public school, private school, charter school, homeschool, or any other learning environment families choose. Sounds good to me so far, right? School choice allows public education funds to follow the student to the school or services that best fit their needs. And that's what we're trying to do. In school, we're trying to fit the needs of the children to educate the children, theoretically anyway. From the Washington Post. School choice developed as a way to protect segregation and abolish public schools. I'm going to say it one more time. It's from the Washington Post. They said school choice developed as a way to protect segregation and abolish public schools. The rhetoric of choice and freedom stands in stark contrast to the true goals of school choice advocates. Uh-oh. This is by Nancy McLean, right? Nancy McLean is William H. Chass, Distinguished Professor of History and Public Policy at Duke University, right? She wrote some books, Democracy and Change, The Deep History of the Radical Right Stealth Plan for America. So you might want to check those books out. On its face, this new legislation may sound like a win for, that's what I was saying, like a win for families seeking more school options. But the roots of the school choice movement are more sinister. How can you have a sinister school choice movement? Come on. Every time you turn around, somebody's plotting something, scheming, some kind of nonsense, right? So they said white Southerners first fought for freedom of choice in the mid-1950s as a means of defying the U.S. Supreme Court's 1954 Brown versus the Board of Education decision, which mandated the desegregation of public schools. Their goal was to create pathways for white families to remove their children from classrooms facing integration. So just when you think, you know, you move and you took a jump forward, get pushed back. That's ridiculous. Like, how can something that seems so positive be so negative? Anyway, from PNAS, school choice increases racial segregation even when parents do not care about race. What does that mean? It's saying like it, no matter how it pans out, the schools end up segregated. U.S. School children largely attended racially segregated school. They said this research examines conditions under which school choice increases or decreases school segregation, even when parents do not care about race. I wonder how many parents are, you know, don't care about race. Anyway, a choice-based conjoint study reveals that black and white parents place different values on school attributes related to reducing social status, inequality, particularly school performance. Simulations of parent school selections uncover that because of the different values, unmitigated school choice policies increase segregation, even if parents do not take social, racial demographics into consideration. In contrast, if black and white parents have similar preferences, unmitigated school choice would reduce racial segregation. That's a hell of a statement. So, I guess you could argue if the parent selects the school of their choice, what's the problem? Problem might be that in segregation, however they able to make it happen, black people usually get the short end of the stick, right? According to Nancy McLean, school choice has a more sinister origin. So did the police force. It was never intended for black folk or poor black children. It is just another way to use tax dollars to fund the isolation and segregation of the public schools. I'm going to say it. That's evil genius right there. You know what I'm saying? That's evil genius. Number six. They said Trump is for law and order. Well, any public official who's not for law and order, I can't see them getting one vote. Whatever law and order looks like, because it seems to me we don't have law and order based on what I've just spoken to you about, killing things that kill us that we are supposed to today, that we are, I guess we just take for granted that it's healthy, that it's good, that it won't harm us. And I'm not talking about, oh, I ate too much, kind of like horror. I'm talking about there's things in there that's going to kill you, that's going to cause your death. Depending on who you are, how much you eat, your body, you know, how much of it you consume and things like that. To me, that's a sign that we are not under law and order. We have law for sure, but we do not have order, because if we had order, these products wouldn't exist and I wouldn't be holding this conversation, because they don't have to do this. In Europe, there are foods that we eat here that not allowed in Europe. Understand? And they got rich people over there. They profiteering and stuff like that, exploiting people. labor and all that good capitalism stuff. They doing it. They have a different moral, ethical, or values boundary system over there. Where here we don't seem to have any boundaries to making money. Cause you just watch, you don't see everything that used to be illegal and become illegal. As soon as they figure out a way to handle it and control it, they probably be selling heroin out of it. They got marijuana now, medical marijuana and recreational marijuana. They probably don't be surprised if you see heroin being sold. We got tobacco, that's a killer. We got alcohol, that's a killer. Do not be surprised if you see, the dead is dead. But they got us thinking that, you know, I don't know if people know food kills or some of the appliances that we use daily causing illness, debilitation, and death. Anyway, back to this number six. Trump is for law and order. All cities that are on fire and being looted are run by Democrats. Now, they ain't looting and putting cities on fire every day, but that makes me think this is a smoke screen. So I'm going to keep going with it, though, right? Many Democrats support defunding the police in New York and Chicago, and poor black children and adults are dying. Murder rates are way up without police. That's fear, right? So that's the other thing they use to move you is fear. So murder, nobody wants to be murdered. I get that. Murder rates are way up without police. So I said, what? Philadelphia was heavily policed in the past, and the murder rate soared. Right? Anybody that lived in Philly back in the early 1900s, mid 1900s, not the early, the mid to late 1900s, early 80s, know that the murder rate here was off the chain. I think in 1974, they was talking about no more gang war, no something. It was something. No gang war in 1974, something. Anyway, I'm going to run you through this year. In 1974, there were 444 homicides in Philadelphia during the reign of Frank Rizzo. So that is synonymous with being heavily policed. Stop and frisk was a everyday routine. I know this personally. There wasn't nothing that them dudes stop you, go in your pockets, throw you up against the wall, take you down for anything, right? I say Philadelphia police had their way back in those days. Stop and frisk, crazy bumpy rides in the police van and being taken off the street to bedside or on the street lineups and identification were not uncommon in the 1900s, I guess it's the late 1900s, the 74, right? I guess that's the late side, 70s, mid to late 1900s, right? This ain't an exact science, cause you could do your own homework. I'm gonna read some of this stuff to you in a few minutes, though. Note that the weaponry, right? The weapons that were available to Philadelphians back in those ancient times was far less than the 9mm 40 caliber AK, AR-15 and all that stuff that they have today, the military grade stuff, right? If police were the solution to reducing the homicide rate of the 1900s would not have been close to the homicide rates of today. They kill and shoot people with police a block or two away in Philly. And that's the truth. Just recently, it was a shooting, and they had to run to another shooting up the street, broad daylight. And another guy got killed about a block away where the cop was sitting. When they had the cop sitting after the riots, the cop was sitting on one street. The next block down, they killed a guy in the alleyway. So, and I'm not blaming the police for that, because the police, this is not the Minority Report. So they can't determine, you're going to commit a murder today. We're going to arrest you before you do it. Don't work that way. That's the Minority Report with Tom Cruise. That was a good movie, though. Too bad we don't have nothing like that, right? Anyway, Philly has long been murdering its citizens during stop and frisk and the Frank Rizzo era. That's a heavily policed era for Philadelphia. I mean, the police got away with murder back then, right? The murder rate is driven by human, psychosocial, economic conflict and emotion. I will not offer my solution. It wasn't until 2020 they had 499 murders and 2021, 562, 2022, 516, that the number of homicides were greater than the previous deadly years, like in the beginning of the Frank Rizzo's reign, 1972. I started Frank Rizzo, it was 413 homicides. This is no automatic weapons. Nobody's shooting 60 times, 30 times. Seven used to be the count. Anybody, y'all know what I'm talking about, too. People who know what I'm talking about, know what I'm talking about. Seven was the count, the magic number back in the day. Because after that, people was on you. William Green's reign and the end of Wilson Good's reign and the beginning of Edward Mandel's reign. So what am I talking about? I'm just going to talk about 1972. Frank Rizzo is the mayor. We have 413 homicides. 1973, 430 homicides. 1974, 444 homicides. 1975, 435 homicides. That's all under Frank Rizzo. It went down in 76 to 339. 1980, under William J. Green, right? There was 437 homicides, right? Then we go on to, I missed one. Wilson Good, he just seemed like there was, I don't know what's happening with Wilson Good, because there's a lot of killing going on. I don't know where to start with him. 1989, Wilson Good, 476. 1990, 500. 1991, 440. 1992, 425 under Ed Randell. 1993, 439, Edward Randell. 1994, 404, Edward Randell. 95, 432. 94 was 404. This all Rendell. 96, 420. 1997, 418 under Rendell. So this is a heavily police of times in Philadelphia. These are times the police snatch you up off the street. You say the wrong thing, you might be going down for something you ain't even do. I hate to say it that way, but I'm telling you, this is a time when police is doing this thing to people. That's all I'm going to say. Y'all know what I'm talking about. 2006, we had John Street. He had 406 homicides in 2006. I'm not saying there wasn't any other homicides. I'm just giving you things in the 400s. Then we had 2020, what they was crying about, and I understand it, 499 under Kenny. I'm just saying, more police is not the solution. I'm not saying we don't need more police, but I'm saying it's not going to stop people from killing each other. You have to get to the root of that. It's multifaceted, and it takes, you're going to have to go from the top to the bottom, from the bottom to the top, from the left to the right, north, east, north, south, east, and west to solve this problem. And you got to be sincere. If you're not sincere, it's not going anywhere. And I think best case scenario, you're always going to have people who murder But this thing that we have going on now is ridiculous. But there are times where police were, like 2020, it's a little different. Because back in the day, the police were doing their thing. Let's just put it that way. They put their thing down back in the day. Regular police, the boot cops, they putting their thing down in Philadelphia. I'm a witness to it. I'm telling you. So, I think you should screen candidates for law enforcement better, train them better, hold them to the same standard of law citizens are held to. If they murder somebody, if they break the law, prosecute them immediately. It's no, because he's a police officer, he gets a desk job and all of that. No, you can see this man just killed somebody. It's there. You can see it. No. We don't get time to put our affairs in order. When we do things, they come lock you up. They're not waiting for you to do anything. Hold them to the same standard of law civilians are held to. Law enforcement should develop a relationship with the people in the community they serve. Those things need to, all those things need to happen. You can't just ride around in there like you are. Maybe they do. I don't know. Maybe that's the plan. I don't know. But you get more bees with honey than you do with that other stuff, right? So get to know the people in your community, not just the criminal element, people in the community. Because guess what? There are people in the community. The gunfight has replaced the fist fight, and murder is no longer taboo. It's not like police know when someone is going to murder someone, although they do know that someone is going to murder someone. In short, you can't blame the civilian homicide rate on the police. You can't do that. Yes, we do need more police, and we need better people, human beings, to become police officers. We don't need bodies. We need human beings. Number 7, President Trump appointed, this sound like the thing that happened in, what was that at? Mississippi, Jackson, Mississippi? It sound like that kind of thing, but I don't know me. I don't know if he means well or what. I don't know. President Trump appointed 200 judges who will interpret the Constitution as written. Democrats will approve judges who are activists and will further the Democratic agenda. This is the only way Democrats can advance their agenda, because people won't vote for it. So, as I just said, this is how you know you're not being represented. You're being taxed, but you're not being represented. That people are passing these agendas without your consent, without even blowing it by you, telling you what it is, what you got to do. And you in disagreement with it. How does it even pass? So Democrats are guilty of this. So I know everybody loves the Democrats, but you got to see the monster ahead of you. You know, you got a kid. You can't just think, oh, not my kid. He wouldn't do that. You got to listen to the information that's coming through. And you got to say, hey, Democrats are not the nicey guys we thought they were. Like I said, we had two uncles. I like to say we have two abusive uncles that rape you. One rapes you. Other one buys you nice things, kind of let you do what you want to do. But when you come into the house, he rapes you at night. So you're still getting raped by either uncle. So we have two uncles, the Democrats and the Republicans. Anyway, you're going to hire some people to interpret the Constitution. I said, interpreting the Constitution as written in a fair manner is yet to be seen by any party. That's how they keep coming up with changing things. And, you know, it's like it depends on who's looking at it? Who's in front of it to make the decision? Who came to Congress that day? You know, I don't know what kind of thing these people are doing, but our government does not appear to be a government by the people or for the people. Yeah, I don't even think it started out that way with them dudes with the white wigs. They were doing that for them. If they were to land on it, they were the ones that had the most to lose. Anyway, that's another show right there, history. Interpreting the Constitution as written in a fair manner is yet to be seen by any party. Interpretation leaves room for interpretation, and that is the problem. If politicians are not able to read exactly what the Constitution says, they have no place in government. It sounds like it is time to take the trash out in both the Democrat and Republican Party. Those guys have been sitting too long. You know, I know what happens when you sit something too long in your refrigerator, it goes bad. And that's what's happening in our houses. These guys are there working for themselves. They ain't working for us. Fact is, both Democrat and Republicans have agendas. The problem is there should be one agenda, the well-being of the people. There should be one agenda, the well-being of the people. Number eight, Trump gave dignity to the poor through work. Democrats gave them food stamps. Republicans teach people how to fish. Democrats give them fish every day. One way of holding on to voters. That's interesting. That's that thing about instead of giving you fish, I'll turn you into fishermen. You go get your own fish, right? Give you a greater independence, right? Well, Trump gave dignity to poor people? What is that supposed to mean? You can't be poor and have dignity? The quality or state of being worthy, honored, or respected, high rank, office, or position? Worthy, honored, and respected by whom? Dignity does not have a price tag. You can be filthy rich and without dignity, be unworthy, dishonorable, and not respected. I assure you, black people have and had a sense of dignity long before there was a Donald Trump. The capitalist agenda is to spend less, earn more. This creates and perpetuates an unequal distribution of wealth and economic slavery. Pay people a living wage. As industries prosper economically, so should the employees of that industry. To prosper from the oppression, exploitation of others is unethical and immoral. You have no conscience. To prosper from their death and destruction is criminal. It's unconscionable. The question is, why should people or the government, which is supposed to be by the people for the people, theoretically, right, be dependent on private interests? Private or personal interest does not reflect the interests of the people, which is why it is referred to as private. Right? Get off of my property. That's my car. Right? Not that people's interests. Note that people's interests not in the people's best interest. Not the people's interest. Not in the people's best interest, right? That's what private means. Not the people's interest, not in the people's best interest. Excuse me. So, total dependency on private interest equals total monopolization, exploitation, and subjugation to private interests. It represents an economic coup or takeover and As we know, in a capitalist society, cash rules everything around them. If the people rule in a democracy, the people should control in a democracy, right? People power, right? If you do not have control, access to the resources necessary for your survival and to improve your quality of life, you are a slave to those who do control the resources necessary to survive and improve your quality of life. Ask yourself, is it right for the lives of the strongest men to be sacrificed due to the decisions made by those who control the economics of the country when those who control the economics wouldn't sacrifice their life to save and improve the quality of life of the people? Something wrong with this picture. Is it? It is the definition of an abusive relationship. Profit over people allows industries, interest groups, and individuals to poison the people for profit. It is commonly known as greed, blind greed. It's like selling dope in the community. It's you hurting the community at the same time. You prospering materially, tearing down a group of people. And I'm not just taking responsibility away from the people who use drugs. I'm not doing that at all. But I'm just saying, if you're selling dope in the community, it's a double-edged sword. You come up and the community comes down. You got death and destruction of your family, absent parents, dead parents, is a permanently absent parent, incarcerated parents, you know, things like that. Unavailable parents in the house, but hardly functional as a parent. Teach the poor to do as they say. Fish is an admirable suggestion, but even fishermen have a crew, a hierarchy. Fact is, we can't all be business owners. Someone has to clean the toilets, sweep the floors, collect the trash, lift, flip those burgers, etc. Number 9. They say many people hate, this is the easiest one, because this is either you do or you don't. Many people hate President Trump because of his personality. He offends people. Okay. I wish he would not say some things he says, but considering all the good he has done and will do in the future, his personality is irrelevant, she says. The adults he offends can protect themselves, unlike babies in the womb. I disagree with that, as I've been saying throughout tonight's show. Adults are not able to defend themselves because they are not informed, conscious of the dangers that they are exposed to on a daily basis. And some of the things that they believe not to be dangerous is dangerous. Right? So, no, I don't agree with that either. But in terms of, you know, this guy, whether you like Trump's personality or not, you know, the goal of the Democrats from the day one of his administration was to destroy him. They threw everything they had at him on a daily basis for almost 4 years. Ain't that what the Republicans did to Obama for 8 years? Threw everything they had at him? Well, as far as liking Trump because of his personality, people are only going to like who they like. And I guess maybe the president, maybe that is a personality race also, to being the president of the United States. I guess you got to kind of like kiss some babies and kiss some butts, you know, to be president. I'm more concerned with what Trump actually does than what kind of problems he might, quirky personality, as long as he's not crazy. Which I really don't know because I don't follow Trump. Number 10, I said the deal breaker. I just went back over where we came from. The deal breaker is abortion for reasons stated above, right? Say here, this writer said he has never voted for a pro-abortion politician and never will. So he's a Republican, because we know the Democrats, for the most part, are pro-abortion. Abortion coupled with loss of religious freedom and conscience protection is a direct attack upon people's religious faith. Think about it. I'm in agreement with that. And whether you pro or against abortion, I guess that's going to come down to a vote. May sound like it might come down to states' rights, states' laws and stuff like that. We'll have to see. But talking about the deal breaker is abortion and religious freedom and conscience protection. As I said, based on the current practices of the political party, I don't see where they are overtly concerned about life, saving a life, with the abundance of toxins or death-promoting industries they allow to operate, distribute, sell toxins in the United States. I don't know. Did anybody see what I'm saying? Like, these guys are having this argument about, and I'm not taking anything away from this whole abortion thing, or whether you should or should not, and I'm not taking away from the life of the unborn child, but I'm saying, like, yo, these guys ain't defending us at all. Because how come I know these things do what they do, and these guys don't even mention it? National Library of Medicine, conscious and consciousness, right? Is the concept of consciousness commonly used in its moral sense, is the inherent ability of every healthy human being to perceive what is right and what is wrong, right? The inherent ability of every healthy human being to perceive what is right and what is wrong. On the strength of this perception, to control, monitor, evaluate, and execute their actions. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, right? Their conscious and religious non-discrimination, right? Some of federal statutes protect healthcare provider conscious rights and prohibit recipients of certain federal funds from discriminating against healthcare providers who refuse to participate in certain service based on moral objections, or religious beliefs, right? Federal statutes protect healthcare providers' conscious rights, right? So the First Amendment is already supposed to have a lot of this stuff covered. PubMed, what are conscious clauses and how do they affect a woman's rights? On such a bill that was vetoed in California included the conscious clause that clearly provided alternative means for enrollees to obtain contraception. The states have also considered allowing pharmacists to refuse to dispense medications that offend their moral or religious views. That's some deep stuff right there. Are politicians selectively blind, or do they simply turn a blind eye to the tidal wave of attacks on human life led by interest groups and corporations that reduce people to being guinea pigs in a madman's laboratory, or even worse, marked for death? Let's look at some of the everyday things we encounter that can kill us, yet no one is conscious enough to protect us against them. I am going to add that to protect means to prevent exposure to these deadly, destructive entities by the monsters that perpetuate and promote their consumption and use. There is not enough time in a day to discuss everything, but here's my short list. From some of the food allowed for consumption in the U.S. is illegal in Europe. Right? From the New York Post, right? February 2003. Past data suggests that humans consume food coloring, specifically red 40, in higher concentrations than the Food and Drug Administration basically are allowed, right? PubMed, food dyes synthesized originally from coal tar and now petroleum. Remember I was talking about petroleum in the beginning? So, and if you know, petroleum has a connection to the practice of medicine today compared to the way it used to be practiced, right? Because it used to be practiced, the herbalists, people use herbs and petrochemicals, which are made from petroleum, right? Three dyes, red 40, yellow 5, and yellow 6 have been found to be contaminated with benzodiazepine or other carcinogens, right? Cancer-causing agents. Four dyes, blue 1, red 40, yellow 5, yellow 6 cause hypersensitivity reactions. Yellow 5 are positive for genotoxicity, right? Toxicity tests on two dyes, citrus red 2 and orange B also suggest safety concerns, but citrus red 2 is used at low levels and only on some Florida oranges, and orange B has not been used for several years. Homes have many toxins in them. The Daily Mail, tens of thousands of tons of toxic chemicals are released each year from everyday goods in homes and offices. These are the biggest offenders. Tons of dangerous chemicals are on common household and workplace items. Products such as nail polish, hand sanitizer, nail polish are contaminated with toxins. How many people get their nails done? They said these chemicals serve multi-purposes within products, such as formaldehyde being used to stop wrinkling in clothing, and diethanolamide as a lubricant in soap and shampoo. DIETHANOLAMINE as a lubricant in soap and shampoo. And everybody watch this. Watch this. Look, listen to this, y'all. Toxic volatile organic compounds or VOCs are chemicals linked to cancer, birth defects, organ failure, and other complications. A person can be exposed to touch or breathe in as chemicals travel in the air. Dangerous chemicals in household goods. They got caulk, right? Caulk adhesive, glue, all-purpose cleaners, nail coating, hand sanitizer, laundry detergent, dishwashing soap, glass cleaner, makeup. The University of California Berkeley study found that the dangerous chemicals linked to cancer, organ failure, and birth defects are lingering in dozens of household goods, right? Run out of time. Under California Proposition 65, which voters passed via a referendum in 1986, consumer goods that include toxic chemicals are required to warn customers of their presence. Notice, California wants you to believe that because they were allowed to vote, that consumer goods that include toxic chemicals are required to warn customers of their presence. That is not being conscious of the threat to life these goods pose, or should I say, that is not the conscious, moral, ethical, or right thing to do. The conscious thing to do is to remove these items from the market. They said, while many of these chemicals are regulated by the Food and Drug Administration and Environmental Protection Agency, they are not outright banned. All right? So I'm saying anytime you see, this is what my brother told me a long time ago, anytime you see something happening over and over again, it's not a coincidence. It is by design. Right? Talked about the non-stick pants. Microplastic can reach your brain in just 2 hours after being ingested, a study revealed. These non-stick pants. You got them non-stick pants. Once that thing starts scratching up, throw it away. I say don't buy it. The worst offenders were construction and cleaning goods. Caulk adhesive, sealant to fill in cracks and other spaces in floors and walls used in millions of buildings across America
was found to have 11 toxic chemicals, industrial glue used to in buildings across America, includes 7 dangerous chemicals. For auto and construction workers, all these exposures add up and might cause serious harm, they said, right? So why? Why are these things allowed? When we run out of time, they talked about genetically engineered foods. Genetically engineered foods allow for the first time foreign genes, bacterial and viral vectors, viral promoters, and antibiotic marker systems to be engineered into food. Right? So we have a lot of things going on. What say the Republican and Democratic Party about the lives affected by these other toxins? It makes me wonder if any party is truly concerned about life. When you think about it, there is only one reason to put toxins and poisons in food and products, and that is to induce illness, kill, terminate life. As my friend once said, if you see something being repeated, it is not a coincidence, it's by design. There appears to be an agenda in the Republicans' quest to save the life of the unborn child. It has been said to end abortion theoretically would force white women to give birth to children they would have aborted, giving rise to the white population currently at risk of becoming the second largest ethnic group in America. Religious freedom will or should prevent people from being subjected to the LGBTQ agenda, which currently is also focusing on indoctrinating minor children. That says nothing about freedom or being free from the idiosyncrasies, ideologies, whims, and desires of men. It shouldn't take a religious order to defend your right to freedom of choice, thinking, speaking, and acknowledging what is. Our constitutional right appears to be in the hands of judges and lawmakers whom, who knows who they are representing. I don't know if these are smoke screens masking as masking a greater threat. I guess we'll find out. Politics appears to be a dirty word. Maybe it always has been. And on that, I want to thank everybody for calling in. I'm going to thank Blog Talk Radio, We Talk Productions, all my callers and listeners. Until next week, y'all, each one reach one, each one teach one. Do your own research. Peace out.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in 4 parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.